firefighting world, what's going on? Today we're going to hear from John Tippett, who's currently the Director of Firefighter Programs at the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation. John has an extensive experience in the fire service with the Montgomery County Fire Service and the Charleston, South Carolina Fire Departments, and is going to give us context about the history of the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation, from organizing memorials to now, back in 2004, learning about the adoption of these 16 different firefighter life safety initiatives. There's an event coming up in Philadelphia called the Fire Service Innovation and Safety Symposium, focused around number 8, which defines using available technology wherever it can produce higher levels of health and safety. So this is really going to dive into the aspects of technology adoption, innovation, evolution in the fire service. John will touch on the cultural change and the mindsets around things from situational awareness to PPE to breathing apparatuses, and ultimately diving into the idea of how we are approaching and allowing firefighters to do the best jobs for themselves, for their families, and the community at large. We have a special deal for all those people listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. If you go to the link in the bio and sign up and type in the word SMART, S-M-A-R-T, you can get a free registration to the event, and we hope you take advantage of this exciting event going on in Philadelphia, September 24th to 26th. Hope to see you there. Take care. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. Really excited today to have John Tippett with us on the podcast. John, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
For those of us that don't really know much about your background, the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation, give us a little context about yourself and who the foundation is.
Oh, sure. I worked for the Montgomery County Fire Rescue Service for about 33 years, then retired from there as a safety battalion chief and moved on to Charleston, South Carolina, where I was the deputy chief of operations and spent 1 year as the interim fire chief during that department's recovery from its SOFA Superstore fire. Left there and went to work for the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation a little over a year ago as the Director of Fire Service Programs, which is the training and education arm of the foundation, and have been there ever since. The foundation was created by Congress in 1991 to honor the fallen, take care of their families, and then in 2004, at a landmark meeting, decided that they had to do something more than conduct memorial services and take care of families after tragedies, and that's how the fire service programs element was created.
Interesting. So yeah, from those programs that are going on now, for more than just throwing memorials, what type of programs exist to help spur innovation or better best practices as it pertains to firefighter wellness and health and safety?
Well, out of the 2004 Tampa meeting came the 16 firefighter life safety initiatives, and that was that group met. It was over 200 fire service representatives, and they came together and settled on 16 different topics that were really designed to focus on creating a culture of safety in the fire service that permits firefighters to still do what they need to do as far as taking care of their communities, but having a better approach to managing the risks of the job. There's no way to eliminate the risk any more than there is a way to eliminate risk from your daily life. But one of the things that we've taken from other industries is that there is a way to put risk in a place where it is acknowledged, recognized, and managed as appropriately as possible.
And within those different aspects of those initiatives, could you maybe touch on a few of those or one or two that you're focused on and how that ties in with your current work?
Sure. Well, the most significant one is cultural change. And basically that is imparting knowledge, education, and mindset that will take firefighters from taking a reckless approach to things, to thinking their way through the aspects of the job, so that the operational risk that they take manages the event that they're going into, that they're not taking any needless risk. And you know, included in those initiatives are accountability, things like risk management, empowering people to speak up, making sure they're getting adequate training and certification, psychological support, and then there are three, medical and physical fitness, research agenda, and technology. And I think those three are the ones that kind of settle into the core of the podcast today.
Okay. And to that mindset within the cultural change, I know there's some of that mindset where this is the way we've always done it, but you had alluded to in our first conversation around how maybe some people perceive that innovation is not something that fire service has adopted, but it is something where we have seen quite a bit of change over time from different historical evolution due to various wants and needs for firefighter safety, firefighter wellness. So maybe giving you a little mindset as it ties into that cultural and evolution of innovation in the fire service from kind of where we were and where we are now and where you see us going.
Well, sure. If you go all the way back to the creation of the American Fire Service, the idea was protect the community, serve others, and that element of the fire service mission has not changed. That's one culture that you would not want to adjust, where you forget that you're out there to do something for somebody else. But when it comes to how you accomplish that job, is I think where the important part comes in for the cultural change. So you know, the fire service isn't unique in its approach to people not wanting to do things different. But if you look at the evolution of fire service technology, for instance, people started out throwing water on fires with buckets, and then they created pumps, and those pumps were pulled by hand, and the pumps got larger, and then they had to be pulled by horses. Then the gasoline engine came along and replaced the horse. Then diesel motors came in and replaced the gasoline engine. Then on the protective clothing side, the first gear firefighters had was basically to keep the water off of them. But as the technologies improved and firefighting tactics changed, the protective clothing was designed to prevent you from getting burned in a flashover event. And then breathing apparatus came along to help protect your lungs and keep you healthy. So throughout the course of the evolution of the fire service, wherever you are in that evolution, you may not want to do something different than was done before, but if it wasn't for what came along and changed things, you wouldn't be doing the job the way you do it today.
And it's fascinating to hear from a firefighter himself about this actual amazing innovation that's happened in the fire service. But obviously, like you said, there's still a lot of better ways on how firefighters can do this job. The stats don't lie when you see some of these alarming rates of cancer and the line of duty deaths. And I know there's this event coming up that the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation is hosting, this Innovation and Safety Symposium. So could you give us a little context on sort of what is this event and why are we coming together and kind of why is this so important to continue to think about how we are approaching innovation and how firefighters approach the fire service?
Sure. Well, initiative Fire Life Safety Initiative number 8 is use available technology wherever it can to produce higher levels of safety and health and safety. And the upcoming symposium is going to focus on that very set. We're very fortunate to be conducting the symposium in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which has done remarkable work with innovations in safety. So the four core elements of the symposium are smart firefighters, smart fire departments, smart cities, and smart environments. And what that alludes to is that all of those elements are interconnected, and the firefighter themselves are a part of that process of protecting the community and using the technologies that are available to better protect their community. So the symposium is going to bring together some of the leading representatives not just fire service technology, but in smart city technology to demonstrate to firefighters and exchange information on what's happening in those elements that could be good for the fire service.
So if you were going to speak to a technologist first, what would you say to a technologist that might be in a concurrent industry or is thinking about trying to create some solution for the fire industry? And I say technologist, I mean entrepreneur as well. What would you say to him or her?
Well, if we took a look at just one element, and let's talk about fire response, for instance. There isn't a city in America today that doesn't face a congestion problem or street issues or things like that. And there are technologies out there that are active in some places that can route firefighters. A lot of people are using Waze, the Waze technology, to get from point A to point B. That app is just as useful to the fire service as it is to anybody else that's plotting their route to get to a destination. So tying in elevating Waze with additional layers, or Waze type technology with additional layers for hydrants, maybe somebody's specific occupant information about whether they have some medical challenges or there's some other hazardous material available or on site where the firefighters are responding. All of those things can be brought together in ways to be able to improve the firefighters' knowledge before they arrive, and then help them handle the emergency more efficiently. Arrive alive, take care of things, make sure the community is in good shape, and then get back to the firehouse.
Well said, and it seems that from a lot of what you're saying, the situational awareness before, during, and after is such a critical component of fire service operations. And I know there's certain things that are taking data now and doing things in the cloud with artificial intelligence and beaming that back to the firefighter interface. And just to continue to add on to this previous conversation you just had, that aspect of situational awareness and taking the available data, what else within that realm is something that you're thinking about that's really kind of something that needs to be addressed? You just talked about getting from one place to another. But what other data or what other type of situational awareness or pre-incident command type work to you sort of on your mind that kind of industry could do a better job of maybe supporting the firefighters with?
Well, certainly knowledge of any hazards that are in the building, their location, but I also think there's another element to that whole situational awareness, and that's a phase called orientation. You can get a lot of information thrown at you, but if you don't know what to do with it or you don't process it correctly, then you set yourself up for a disaster. So the idea and the concept behind some of these new technologies that are out there are not just give the firefighter the information, but have the firefighter in a state where they can digest the information and then be able to use it appropriately. So it really gets to the core of human existence. So what is it that makes one person step off of a curb in front of a car and another one doesn't? And it's not just their situational awareness, it's that they also orient to the fact that there's a danger present and they know what to do with it. So in this whole concept of artificial intelligence, some additional tweaking, I think I would ask the technologist, well, what can you do so that when this information hits two different people, how do they arrive at a decision that puts them both in the same frame of mind with how to react to it?
Fantastic. Okay, now just kind of flipping that coin, granted, some firefighters very much can be technologists themselves, but what would you say to the up-and-coming or existing firefighter as it pertains to the point, priority number 8 around using technology where we can? What would you say to a firefighter about what to do or how to embrace technology and innovation?
Well, I think one of the most promising elements is that today's firefighter seems to be much more willing to accept new technologies that arrive. They're more interested in what it can do versus looking for ways that how it won't work, or, you know, this new technology coming down here is going to replace the horse. But by this, you know, the newer firefighter seems to be looking for a different and a better way to do things just by their nature. And I think that's probably because they've grown up with new and different layers of technology that previous generations haven't had. And technology is so much a part of their life and rolling out at them at such a rapid pace, they see it as a help versus something that may force them to learn a new and different way to do things.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think with the whole millennial term, whether it's right or wrong or fair or whatever, there's a truth to the fact that a lot of younger people have grown up with tablets and game systems, which has kind of opened them up to what is computing and what is some of these new technologies, what are they like and what can they do for me, in particular in a way that's going to allow them to do their job better, go home at night, and most importantly, keep the community safe.
Right. And I do think there's an interesting balance to strike there that it's, you know, you can quickly go to a YouTube or you can quickly find some way that will show you to do something. And the upside of that is the individuals that are familiar with that type of work or that type of technology will be able to see how to maybe pull a hose line, throw a ladder, put on their SCBA, but there's still the eye-hand coordination that has to take place as well. So there still has to be followed up because even as technologically advanced as firefighting can get or be, there's still going to be a requirement of human and machine interaction that requires dexterity, knowing how to step through a process, those types of things.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, there's that balance of the theoretical to the practical element, as well as the finding that intersection. I'm not sure if you've seen the show Westworld, but it's looking at the whole dynamic of making robots more human and making humans more robotic. And it's kind of scary in a sense, but nonetheless still touches on that point you just brought up of that interface balance between how humans and technology work together to ideally bring the most value to society as a whole.
I was a big fan of that show, Westworld. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it kind of creeps me out, but it definitely fascinated me.
The second season was kind of a creeper, yeah. The first season was a lot easier to walk through.
Absolutely. So if people wanted to learn more about the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation or kind of get maybe sign up for this event, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably the most efficient way is go to our website at www.firehero.org. And then from there, they can get to the Fire Service Innovation Safety Symposium. That'll take you to a pretty nice page that we developed that explains everything about the symposium. We have a list of the agenda and the speakers that are going to be there. And then we would look forward to seeing everybody that wants to attend come out to Philly. The concept or the idea behind the symposium will be to have keynote presentations by some of those leading speakers, and then people will break off into working groups and be able to ask questions back and forth with the presenters. Concept behind it is keynote may present something about a new technology that's out there, then the firefighters will be able to digest what that presentation was about and ask questions. And then the keynote will be able to take the information back to their world and do adaptable things for firefighters.
Awesome, John. Well, really looking forward to the event in Philadelphia. It seems like it's something that if you are interested in smart firefighting, smart department, smart city, really anything to do with smart innovation in the public safety service, this is the event for you. And I appreciate everything that you've done for the fire service. And lastly, look forward to meeting you in person here in Philadelphia.
Thanks, Kevin. I look forward to seeing you.
Awesome, John. Thanks, and have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast.
If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, leave a comment, and follow us on social media at Smart Firefighting. We would love to know more about what you liked or did not like about this episode. Even more so, we want to know, what do you want to hear more about? Any feedback for future interviews or topics is highly welcomed and encouraged. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to next time.